Hi, my name is Sari, and I'm an international project worker or a volunteer from the Philippines. Came all the way from there, and right now I'm working here with the kids during sessions, and I also work on things like social media, things like the kitchen, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
My name's Will Benson. I'm the chief officer of Kids Cabin. My role, as well as running workshops with kids, which I do less these days, I'm also involved with the overall management of the charity. So fundraising and reporting and planning and strategy and all those sorts of things.
Could you tell me a bit about what Kids Cabin actually is?
Kids Cabin is a children's charity, and we enable children and young people to have fun, be creative, and learn things by doing practical and creative activities. So, kids come here to do pottery, woodwork, cookery, bike maintenance, arts, crafts, drama, all sorts of stuff. And the aim is that by doing that, they learn practical skills, creative skills, social skills, self-confidence. They learn how to solve problems. They learn about cooking, eating, growing. All sorts of things. It's quite a quirky story, actually. Three nuns moved to Walker, where we're based now. They moved here because they wanted to work in a low-income neighborhood. They came here and they were immediately struck by the fact that loads of kids were getting into trouble and being told off. But they saw the potential in these children and young people, and they got kids doing practical things instead of getting into trouble. I suppose the kids were getting really bored and breaking stuff, and I think they were being told off for that, understandably. So the nuns started doing practical and creative stuff. Kids Cabin isn't a religious charity, but we have our roots in those three nuns who moved to Walker 29 years ago, I think.
And how did you both get involved in the charity?
I got involved with the charity because the three nuns who started it 29 years ago, they're from the Assumption, and in the Philippines they have a partnership there as well with the Assumption schools. And so I was a volunteer, an Assumption volunteer in the Philippines, and they had a call for volunteers as well here in Kids Cabin. So from there I volunteered, and here I am now working at Kids Cabin.
So each year we have six international volunteers on placement from around the world who are full-time volunteers, and they provide a lot of our delivery capacity. And Sari is one of them, alongside five other volunteers this year. I found out about Kids Cabin when I met a friend of a friend who needed help teaching kids and volunteers how to use a pottery wheel. I'd always been interested in pottery as a kid, and I was training as a teacher at the time, but not a geography teacher, not really doing very well at being a geography teacher. And this was in 1998. So I met this guy, and he was saying, oh, he was talking about this pottery wheel and kids throwing clay all over the place and making a right mess. So I'd done a lot of pottery as a kid. So I then said, oh, I'll come and show you. So I came down and did some volunteering, teaching people how to use a potter's wheel. And as soon as I walked through the door of this quirky little shop unit, as it was at the time, I fell in love with it completely because it was just a really lovely, creative place where I felt I was teaching something really quickly and really immediately. Whereas I'd been sitting in front of a classroom of teenagers who were looking at me as I was trying to tell them about shopping patterns in high streets in Britain or whatever it was when I was trying to teach for geography. And I didn't seem to be making that much progress educationally. But then when I came here, I realized immediately that kids, given something that they're really motivated and interested in, they learn really quickly, and it felt amazing. So that's how I got involved, and I've been here ever since.
Wow, that's a great story. So, how often do kids come to the kids' cabin? Is it a weekly thing?
Kids come pretty much every day. We have one to two sessions every day, but each kid has like an assigned session. So every Monday to Friday, it's a different set of kids per day. We do after school, but we also have this thing called school sessions where we partner up with schools and they come over and we do sessions with them as well.
So Sari's just come out of a cookery, coincidentally, a cookery workshop with a group of kids from Tyneview Primary School, which is one of the local ones in Walker. We link our workshops to their curriculum. So at the minute they're doing South America. So Sari has been making some, what have you been making?
Pastel de forno, which is a Brazilian street food. So we really try as much as possible, one, to link up with the curriculum, but to allow kids to explore different recipes and try new things, not just like the regular things, but things they get, like we want them to taste other flavors and as well as practice their skills in cooking. So it just to talk a little bit about it. When the school came over, we make sure we teach them like knife skills, so cutting, and then skills like grating, and then allow them to figure out like what's the purpose of different ingredients and how they work together. Not so much as a cooking class, but just very practical skills in the kitchen.
Have you noticed a difference in the kids' attitude once they do learn these new skills?
Yeah, definitely. At the end of every session, we always try to ask them what they've learned, and a lot of them say things like, oh yeah, we're going to help our mom grate cheese at home for cooking, or we're going to help them wash the dishes, or things that they've learned there. They always say they're going to try and take it home and help out with their families.
It's amazing how quickly a child's confidence can change. Their attitudes can change from being quite resistant to being very, very positive about their own ability quite quickly, given a few simple achievements, you know, a few recipes. If they cook something, share it with the rest of the group, and three kids who they obviously respect and care about say, wow, that's nice. And suddenly that person will become a chef in their own eyes, which is great. And they become confident. And our aim as a charity is to build that confidence in young people by giving them as many positive experiences of success as we can. I think we find that a lot of kids, and I think it's probably particularly in certain neighborhoods and certain areas, suffer from a lack of confidence. And by enabling them to repeatedly have a successful achievement, it builds up their sort of the credit in the bank of confidence. And then when they have unsuccessful experiences, then they don't get knocked right back down again. And I think, you know, we really, really try to find something that everyone is good at, every kid, regardless of how they might immediately present themselves or of how challenging they might be. And sometimes kids find it really difficult to express their confidence and to feel positive about an activity. And we work quite hard sometimes to really find that. But once you've got it, then kids can grab it and they really enjoy that achievement and success.
So you're talking about a range of skills that you teach them. What kind of things do you offer?
An example of some of the different sessions that we offer is art, cooking, woodwork, pottery, and everything around that area. Especially art has things like sewing or something extreme. Sometimes they've even tried like glass works and things like that. We try to ask the kids what they want to learn, and based on that, we do it with them.
Yeah, we also do a lot of bike fixing. There's another thing we haven't really mentioned, which is about our street workshops, which are quite exciting. Many years ago, we realized that a lot of kids don't come to centers for whatever reason. They can't get there because it's a bit far away. They won't go to youth center, or they're worried about which other kids are at that youth center and they might be a bit scared of going there. So we felt that some kids were not getting the opportunities they would otherwise get. So we then thought, well, how can we change this? I cycle to and from work every day and have done forever. And I carried on seeing this kid up the street, and he was asking me for a new back wheel for his bike. And I said, oh, just come to the bike workshop on Friday. It's open. Come down and pick up a back wheel from there. And then he carried on asking. And eventually, you know, I said, well, come down. He said, I can't come down because I haven't got a back wheel. And it was a bit of a, of course, obvious. So then we put a back wheel in a bike trailer and went up the street and set it up on his street, took some tools and just sat down on the street corner with this kid, and he started fixing his bike. And as he was doing it, kids just appeared, like, what's going on here? And then started pulling bikes out their sheds. And within 10 minutes, we had 10 bikes around this in a pile on the street, all being fixed. Then we thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So what can we do about it? So we started doing more bike stuff. And then we thought, well, actually, why can't we do everything on the street? Because, you know, people see you, they're out there, parents come up, say hi. It's a really accessible and engaging and just really fun thing to do. So then we put a potter's wheel on a bike trailer and took it out and do street pottery. We turned an old barbecue into a mobile kitchen, so which has just got a little two gas hobs and a grill. So we do street cookery and a little sink attached to the side that we've sort of screwed on. And then we also have a wood workshop that we take out, which is really just two little woodwork benches and a box of tools we put in a trailer and take out. We have a cycle powered smoothie maker that we made. And the idea is just to take things out and get out of the mainstream and also just sort of mix things up a bit. And it's part of the history of the charity. It's very much about being inventive, being creative, following kids' ideas, following the ideas of our volunteer team and everyone else, and just not being scared to experiment and have a sort of growth mindset where we say very much like, let's give it a go. If it goes wrong, it doesn't really matter. We'll just try it a bit differently and have another shot.
Yeah, I've seen your smoothie maker online, actually. I saw a little demonstration on YouTube from one of the kids. How many volunteers do you have?
We have 6 full-time international volunteers and about 15 community volunteers. And those volunteers are people, they might be kids who used to come to Kids Cabin who've got a bit older. We also have some parents who are volunteers. We have some students who are volunteers. And we have some people in the community who maybe they're retraining for something. They want to become a teacher or something, or get involved in something different, get involved in this sort of work. Or they've benefited from this sort of thing in the past themselves and they want to share their skills.
Can you get a qualification from being a volunteer?
We don't run a qualification ourselves, but we would encourage people to take up opportunities like taking NVQs in youth and community work. We have an apprentice at the minute who's doing that. And we also have a student on placement from Sunderland University on a youth and community work course. And he's doing his long placement with us. So, yeah, we don't run a particular qualification ourselves, but we would look for other ways of volunteers getting qualifications.
And how successful do you think Kids Cabin has been? Have you got any success stories that you can tell us about?
Yes. There are examples of individual people whose lives have changed as a result of coming to Kids Cabin. If I give you one example, a young woman, she was a girl at the time when she first came to Kids Cabin. She was petrified of going to any group or club. And she had her very confident cousin who carried on drag, come. And she was like, I don't want to go. And then eventually she persuaded her to come. And she said she hated the first few weeks because she was just so scared to do anything. And then she went into a drama workshop for the first time she'd ever been in a drama workshop in her life. And she got the opportunity to be a policewoman in the drama workshop. And she got an opportunity to role play a different personality to her own. And she became this bossy policewoman. She took on this role and she said it was like a light bulb moment with regards to her confidence, because she could step outside of herself. And, you know, everyone laughed at her when she played the role in a nice way. Everyone was, wow, it's really funny. It was really good. Then she became a young volunteer and then came back as an adult volunteer. And I didn't know any of this until we sat down one day after a workshop and we were talking. She was running some drama stuff. And I said, oh, how come, you know, you're so into drama stuff and running this with kids? And she told me this story and it was like, my God, that's amazing. But I think to me, the real difference is when you just watch kids on a day-to-day basis learning new things, going from a kid who's never used a saw to a kid by the end of an hour and a half, they can clamp a piece of wood to a workbench. They can saw a piece of wood. They can sand it. They can show another kid how to do it. And that can happen in an hour and a half. And that kid will never forget that skill. I think it still surprises me how many people are scared of tools and are scared of doing practical and creative things, principally because they've either never done it before, or when they have done it, it's gone wrong.
And if I were to just add a little bit about the practical skills, so I work mostly in the kitchen. And I think something that's really amazing to me that I've thought about a lot was that the kids who come to Kids Cabin very often and they enjoy cooking and they do it over time, I noticed that after a couple of weeks, they can read recipes completely by themselves. I can hand them a recipe and they can do it. And I guess that doesn't seem like the craziest thing, but it's something I know as a kid, I wouldn't have been able to just follow a recipe on my own. And it's a practical skill that I think over time you see the success of it. And it's not always instant, but the more that they come to Kids Cabin and the more that they work on the skills that they enjoy, you can really see the success over time.
What is the hardest part of your role at Kids Cabin?
You sometimes find that children can be very, very negative about themselves and can almost feel disempowered. Some children, and sometimes it's, you know, these children will do the same again. They'll be very, very negative about what they can do and will be reluctant to make a positive choice and to exercise their creativity. There's such a wealth of opportunity available in an organization like this. for young people, but sometimes I think there's a lot of stuff in the way for kids to be able to really benefit from it. So they might say, well, I'm just useless, I can't do it, I don't want to do it, or I did it before and I was rubbish at it. And I said, that's again, comes back to that thing about really trying to find that moment where someone achieves something and it's meaningful and positive, and then they can build on that. That's probably for me the hardest thing.
Personally, coming out from being a volunteer, I would say that there was a lot of skills that I had to learn when I first got here, like pottery and woodwork. And we really do want to support the kids in what they want to do and what they want to try. So for me, I'm not the best at woodwork, but when we've noticed that when girls get involved with woodwork, it inspires also the younger girls as well to get inspired in woodwork. And they make comments like, oh, I didn't know girls could do woodwork. I saw the value in learning these skills that I wouldn't have otherwise done.
So you may have already touched on it, but what would be then the most rewarding thing?
I would say the most rewarding thing is, of course, yes, it's nice to see the actual skills that are being developed. But for me, I find the relationship building that we have with the kids really important as well. When we first arrive, they don't feel the most comfortable with us. And, you know, we're new, every year volunteers change. So we have to build that relationship with them. And at the end, it's for me the most rewarding, because you grow with them. At the same time, you develop a relationship. You, of course, do the skills and activities with them, but they start to feel more comfortable. They open up about things that are difficult for them. And it's nice to be there for them and give them a space to feel comfortable and give them a space to feel safe. And at the end of the day, that's what's most rewarding for me, when I can, one, build their confidence and to allow them to be themselves, allow them to make mistakes, and just allow them to be authentic to who they are.
Again, I think it's when those kids who struggle with something initially or don't feel that comfortable with where they're at. And the obvious one would be the kid who comes in screaming and shouting for 3 or 4 months and is always just on edge, often ends up really everyone's pulling their hair out with this kid. Then when you can find something that this kid, and in this case it was fixing bikes, he got really into fixing bikes. We gave him loads of affirmation, and then he's now helping other kids fix their bikes. We gave him a little toolbox, which of old tools we had, and now he's out on the street fixing bikes with his mates, and you know, after school in the evenings he's out there and helping kids and stuff like that. Is just amazing, because otherwise, I think he would have just gotten into more and more and more trouble just continuously. And it was just finding a channel for some of that energy, but also some of that inherent skill, which he hasn't had a chance to express before.
And how easy is it to get the kids to attend? Is it ever the case that the parents want them to go, but they don't really want to go?
It's rare, but occasional, that kids would be forced to go. And we want kids to self-refer and to want to come. And we do that by the school projects enable hundreds of kids to find out about Kids Cabin, because you get whole classes coming in each week. And then also the street work, loads of people find out about Kids Cabin through the street work. But we still find, you know, the attendance varies, as you would probably expect at any sort of drop-in type youth club. You know, some days you'll have a very quiet session, other days all the kids who are signed up for that day will come. Last year, 1,300 kids took part in Kids Cabin activities. And that's a combination of about 500 through schoolwork and about 800 through out of school work, with 300 of those being in Middlesbrough. So we also have a Kids Cabin in Middlesbrough.
Do you want to tell me about your latest development in Kids Cabin?
Our kitchen.
When I first arrived here at Kids Cabin, which was a few months ago, we didn't actually have this kitchen yet completed. When I first arrived, we were working in this like smaller kitchen with a few hobs, a small oven, and a small microwave. But recently, which has been very cool, we opened the new kitchen, which is, if it's okay to say, it's really big. It's massive. And quoting one of the kids, it looks like it's straight out of the Great British Bake Off.
Cookery's always been really, really popular with kids, as you might imagine. Kids love cooking and they love eating. We had a small kitchen for many years in this centre here, which has been open since 2000. It was too small, really, for what we wanted, but it was also getting quite worn out. So then we raised some funds, and just before COVID, we got the go-ahead. We got the money and we got the builder and we were all ready to go. It was just about to happen, and then COVID happened. So we've had this huge delay of 3 years. And then obviously all the inflation in prices and difficulty getting materials and everything made the building project quite difficult. But we eventually got it done and it opened in January. It feels like longer than that, doesn't it? It feels like we've done a lot of stuff in it, but it's been open for two and a half months. And now we run cookery activities there every day. And the idea is, as well as having the schools and the after school stuff that we do at the moment, the plan is to expand it to do more. So during school half term, we had some family cookery sessions in there where the kids brought their parents in and did some cookery together. The kids at Easter are going to run a kids cafe where they're going to set up a cafe space in the room next door, and they're going to invite lots of guests, and they're going to dress up as waiters and waitresses, and they're going to host a little event based on whatever recipes they come up with. So the idea is to expand its use much further than what we're currently doing. It's a great resource and it'll be used really well by the wider community in due course.
And are there any plans to run your own Great British Bake Off?
Well, actually, so recently in a couple of sessions, we do have this bake off with the kids. So we ask them, what do you want to bake? And then we just have all the ingredients there. And usually amongst themselves, they'll divide themselves into groups and then they'll cook different things. So one time a group made cupcakes, another group made cookies, another group made brownies, and we all like brought it together, sat around the table, tried each one. We graded it, but everyone gave each other like 10 out of 10. But it was really amazing to just see all of these kids being able to not only bake, but test their creativity and create whatever they wanted to make. So yeah, we did have a bake-off here.
It's a bit of a sort of freestyle version of the Great British Bake Off. That's the other thing, is Kids Camp is very much about kids deciding the creative direction of their own work. So we don't say, okay, everybody, today we're going to do this, this, this. It's very much like,
yeah,
you do what you want. So the bake-off has to be led by the kids.
By the kids.
Yeah, it should be. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. If you do want people to get in touch, what is the best way to do that?
The best way is to either come to Kids Cabin. That's the best thing to do. It's down in Church Walk in Walker. Also, you just look on our website. That will show where all our locations are. Because as well as doing the street work, I didn't mention, we also deliver workshops elsewhere in Newcastle, community church halls and community centres and places like that. We do some stuff in Cowgate, some stuff in Pottery Bank, some stuff in Daisy Hill, and some stuff in Biker, as well as Walker. So when people can come down, or people can get in touch via email, via the website, or phone, or anyway, just
Facebook as well.
Yeah, Facebook, good point. Stop us on the street when we're when we're going along with the potter's wheel and say, oi, give us a bit of clay.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much.